Dresden Opera, Leipziger Opera, og de har hver deres opera. I Dresden, der har man Semperoperaen, som er en genopbygning af en historisk bygning, men går man ind i Leipzig, så har man en fuldstændig ny bygning, til trods for, at den i virkeligheden genspejler en historie, som går langt længere tilbage. Jeg står sammen med hr. Tobias Wolf, som er direktør for operaen her i Leipzig. Vi har brugt den næsten deutschreden.
We can speak English.
We can speak English. I'm quite sure that quite many of the listeners appreciate that. That is part of it. If you come to Leipzig, you are in some sort of a very international environment, and of course you're speaking English here too. I'm not sure whether you're speaking English on the Tribune, but
sometimes
you do. Fantastic.
Så med muligheden for at blive på engelsk, så vil jeg undlade at oversætte undervejs. Jeg håber, det går, og siden kan den fulde samtale jo høres på rejseradioen.dk, også på engelsk. Men jeg indledte samtalen med det, I netop hørte på dansk, og nævner, at Leipzig-operaen egentlig også er et gammelt operahus.
Absolutely. Our tradition goes back to 1693, so Leipzig is one of the oldest bourgeois citizen opera houses in Europe, and it's still a city theater, so with exclusively city funding.
But it is not the same building. A lot of things has happened. We have had a war, and a lot of things has happened before the war too. Yeah. And this building, when I look at it from outside, it looks as if it is a DDR building, so to say.
It is the only GDR building, actually. So it's the only theater built in GDR times, and it's got all these emblems and pictures outside which have this socialist spirit, which makes it very special, because Walter Ulbricht, who comes from Leipzig, was head of state, he said, I want a new opera house for this town, although one could have reconstructed the old opera house. In the rest of the GDR, one has reconstructed most of the old opera houses. But the tradition goes back to 1693. We had different houses in different places. And the special thing about Opera Leipzig is that we have two houses, actually. So there's one house for the opera, for the serious opera and the ballet. And we've got one entertaining theater for musical and operetta. So that's very special also.
So that is two different buildings. Are we talking about buildings or houses?
Houses, we've got even more. We've also got two workshop houses and a lot of storage space. So it's, you know, we're kind of all over the place.
I think you also need it. As far as I know, you are 700 people working there every day. But that is also because you're producing a lot of the things yourself. The scenery, for example.
So we've got a big choir, of course, because it's a big stage. We've got, you know, two ballet companies, for one for each house, two choirs, one for each house. And we've got big workshops. With, you know, with tailors, with carpenters, with costume painters, with shoemakers and everything. So it's all here, and we actually preserve this art of making costumes and making set designs because we think it's part of our tradition and it needs to be preserved. So this is why we have so many people.
Does it mean that you basically are able to do all the scenery all year round? You're doing in total 240 of them, and you can do it with just your own staff, or do you rent somebody around the world?
Concerning the costumes and the set designs, we produce them all by ourselves, and not only for us, but also for the other theaters in town. We do have guests when it comes to artists. So, you know, if we've got a big tenor role or a big soprano role, of course we are also hiring artists, but we also have permanently employed singers for most of the parts we're doing.
But I think it is also because you have a big audience in your own town, mm-hmm. of course, but also a very big international audience, actually.
It depends, you know, what kind of performance you're visiting, because we've got things such as a baby concert. We've got also participatory programs for patients with dementia. And so that's, of course, a total local audience. But we've got the big festivals for dance, for Wagner, coming up the Lotzing Festival. We have got people, of course, from all over Germany, all over Europe who come to visit our performances.
You said the word baby concerts.
Yeah.
I mean, they are starting very early here, developing the new actors, as far as I understand. But youth means a lot for you.
Absolutely. So this is why we're actually starting with baby concerts. So it's, you know, it's a little bit for both. One, for the baby to get in contact with classical music and opera very early on, but also for the parents, because, I mean, they have got a need for culture, and it's very hard with a crying baby to go to any other performance. So they're actually very much appreciating that. So youth is a big issue. We've got a lot of theater clubs. So we've got clubs for younger kids, for older kids who make their own music theater performances. We've got a huge kids choir with over 200 children who get music education here at the house and who are actually performing in, of course, Carmen, La Bohème and Otello, but also doing their own projects. So we try to, you know, to educate the audience of tomorrow.
Men Tobias Wolf er også forholdsvis ny i jobbet. Han startede for blot 2 år siden. Hvad oplevede han som den største udfordring?
Well, you know, the biggest challenge I encountered was actually kind of accommodating speed in all the departments. Because if we're talking about sustainability, that was a new topic which we brought in. We had some departments who actually said, yeah, that's what we always wanted and we're starting through and, you know, we're kind of going for it. And if other departments said, what's that supposed to mean? And, you know,
you're not
why
driving
do we have
electrical.
To do that? Why do we have to do that? And, you know, you can't have the ones run ahead and the other ones just being dragged behind. So actually tuning the speed of change, I think, is the biggest issue in such an organization.
You're not driving electro auto on the stage?
We do sometimes, actually. But most of our cars are actually without an engine altogether, so we've got to push them by hand. So that's very, very sustainable.
I think so. That is in really the content of sustainability, I think.
Og med kig på fremtiden fortæller Tobias Wolf, at han er inspireret af det, der foregår på The Metropolitan Opera i New York, hvor man spiller stykker, der er meget tættere på den virkelighed, nutidens publikum lever i. Det agter han også at gøre. Men på operaen er man også begyndt at arbejde med strukturen, så medarbejderne får plads til deres familieliv, ligesom diversitet spiller en større og større rolle, som det gør i verden udenfor. Dertil kommer bæredygtighedsprocessen og digitaliseringen, og iscenesættelsen vil også ændre sig i takt med nye tekniske muligheder. Med tak for snakken til Tobias Wolf, en samtale, der i sin fulde længde kan høres på rejseradioen.dk, skulle vi tværs over pladsen foran operaen til et koncerthus, man heller ikke kommer udenom i Leipzig, nemlig det såkaldte Gewandhaus.